Right now, if you would, join me in your Holy Scriptures. We're back in 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. I hope you have your Bibles. If not, you see it on the projection there in front of you. Hear the infallible, inerrant word of our living God. 1 John 4, 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, given that we have communion set before you, the message is a little bit shorter this morning, so we have adequate time to take care of that wonderful blessing. So I will be concentrating on verses 17 and 18 as we take in the message here, but then also begin turning our attention to this table. So let me give you once more, if you don't mind, verses 17 and 18. By this is love perfected, and this he's speaking of God abiding in us. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Last week we had the wonderful discussion about the assurance of salvation that we Christians have because of the completed work of Jesus Christ. And that assurance of salvation is that wonderful gift that we now have with the Holy Spirit in us as that guarantee. But we also can see evidences in our lives that we mentioned too last week. The first evidence, as he is referring to here, is that we love one another. That assurance of God's love in us gives us the ability to love one another, love those in the church, love those that may be difficult to love. The second evidence that we spoke of last week is that because God abiding in us, we confess the truths of Jesus Christ. Now, confessing the truth is a very full-orbed term, using Bob Kara's phrase. It's full of meaning. It's the truth of his birth, the truth of his life, the truth of his death and resurrection and his teachings. And taking all of that, if we have been given the Holy Spirit to come to know those things, an evidence of the assurance. This week, John is bringing us another fact of assurance, one that provides a great reward in our Christian journey. And that reward is that the Christian is not to fear the day of judgment. We are not to fear the day of judgment. Hebrew 9 says, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. So we as Christians, as will all created beings, one day face the judgment. However, as I have said, we Christians are not to fear that day. We are to have a confidence going into that time, that confidence that we are indeed safe in the completed work of the Holy of Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, we have to be careful here. Let me stick in a caution that we have to be careful that we don't see this as having license. Oh, well, the grace of God is so great, and we're going to be forgiven, heaven is my assurance, then why bother? I had a young man ask me that question 2 weeks ago. Didn't turn into a good conversation. We have the assurance, but we are still to follow the commands showing our love for Jesus Christ. We're not working for our salvation, but we're working out from our salvation. So let us trust and have confidence in that day of judgment, but let us not take license in this life that, oh, God's grace, take care of it, don't worry about it. No, no. Speaking of judgment, go with me to Revelation chapter 20. Folks sometimes get a little cautious and concerned when we go to the book of Revelation. It's a fantastic book, guys. It is. Chapter 20, verse 11. The vision Jesus has given John of that day of judgment. John writes, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, the earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." The day of judgment is going to be... I've searched and searched all week for a word to interject there. And no word I would choose can adequately portray what John is writing on here. A devastating, devastating day, time for the non-believer. But as John has written back in his letter, this is not going to be the case for the believer. This day of judgment is when Jesus, the Son of God, acting as the justice of that last judgment, will judge the living and the dead. All non-believers will be judged by Christ at that great white throne in which we've read here, and they will face the punishment set for them. See, the Bible is very clear that at the final judgment, the destiny of the wicked will be controlled by Almighty God, and he will assess according to their deeds, and then they will, sadly, find no longer any aspect of God's grace. Yet as the believer, for the believer, Jesus will expose the true nature of our hearts. Every rebellious act, every wrong attitude, every abusive word, all will be brought forward and reviewed. Yet the Bible teaches us that Jesus will wipe away every tear from our eyes. We will be standing there in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, grieving over how undeserving we really are of his sacrificial love. However, that sorrow, that grieving, will only be for a moment. We will then understand the full beauty of his grace, Because what will follow this is the tremendous joy of receiving forgiveness. Christ's judgment will not be a punishment. It will be a reminder that we are forgiven. It will remind us again of the love and the grace and the completed work of Jesus Christ. Thankfully and joyfully, the believer should not ever cower or hang our heads during the judgment. Maybe a bit. We will stand before the Lord, clothed in Christ's righteousness and forgiven of every single sin. No fear. No fear. And at that time, we will fully understand how great is the love of the Father that He has lavished upon us. And then, as we have heard many times, preachers have stood in this pulpit and said what Jesus said, recorded in the book of Matthew, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy your master's happiness." Is that something to fear? As I prayed in the prayer of confession, we should mourn our sin. We should grieve over our sin. But then also the assurance knowing that Jesus has covered that with His blood. And so as John writes, we should have no fear when we face the Lord Jesus Christ. But as the song we've sang many times says, I can only imagine, will I be standing? Probably not. Probably be on my face. So as we dig into this a little deeper into John's writing, going back to John 17, 1 John 7, 4, 17, as we face the judgment, it is imperative that we have times such as this, that we have a very clear biblical understanding and a biblical confidence as we face that day. From the beginning to the end, the Bible is clear that there's a coming day of judgment. Jesus speaks of it often in the book of Matthew. The Apostle Paul recorded in the book of Acts that God has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed. Death, which is a part of our existence, and we will all face that unless the Lord Jesus does come back to take up His church before that day. Death is a part of our existence, and it is a judgment for our sin. But hear me, it is not the final judgment. All will die once. John made reference to this in Revelation chapter 20. All of us will die once, but only the pagan, the non-believer, will face the second death. That second death, as I said, mentioned in Revelation, is the spiritual death, where that means that the non-believer will face eternal hell, dying spiritually forever. The believer, on the other hand, will not die that second time because we will not see the condemnation of God the Father. We will rather hear those wonderful words of which I just gave you. So how do we know? How do we know for sure? How do we know for sure? How does a believer face the day of judgment with confidence and no fear? Well, we find that answer in verse 16 that I read to you at the very beginning. Once again, verse 16. So we have come to know. And again, as I've done many times, understand what that word means. That word know means that's a very intimate, ingrained, full knowledge. We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. How do we know and believe the love that God has for us? How do we know? Right there. Jesus stayed on that cross. And in that staying on the cross, He said, I love you. And we know that God the Father loves you if you are a believer. And this table, which we're about to celebrate, brings that meaning to us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We have come to know the love of God which abides in us, and we know that love abides, as we see in this evidence, as we spoke of last week, loving one another, professing the truths of Christ. Now, this evidence here, which we have not witnessed yet, but that assurance that we should have no fear on the day of judgment. In verse 17 here, it says that love is perfected. God's love is perfected. Now, that does not mean to be without error. It means to be mature. It means to be made complete. So we will see on that day that God's love is perfected, is made complete in us. You think you feel an aspect of God's love right now? It's but a drop. It's but a drop. And because of this matured love, again, we should not fear. And our primary source of confidence is that we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We speak the truths of Jesus. We believe in his work. We see evidence of his work. Salvation is ours because of his work. The more you see God's love surfacing in your own life, that where you can get to the place where you can love that one that is incredibly unlovable, where you can wash the feet, not literally, but wash the feet, sacrifice, become the servant of that one that deserves nothing. As I've said many times, I think I've said it each Sunday for the last 3 weeks, Jesus washed Judas's feet. When we see that evidence coming out in our lives, then that should give us even the greater confidence of God's eternal grace. And that, as John has written, there should be no fear. No fear. As I've said, this is what this table represents. It represents the work of Jesus Christ. It represents what he did following the decrees of the Father. And you are the beneficiary if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And so this table is for you. And just as I told the story of meeting the young man Aaron in Beaumont, Texas, 3 weeks ago, when I assured him, believing in Jesus Christ, he could go to heaven. He, like the thief on the cross, thought he couldn't. But this table says he can. If he believes. If you believe. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the guarantee of the Spirit within us, that is, that testament of the completed work of Jesus Christ. And as we do come to that day of judgment, as I said earlier, I couldn't find a word that would clearly describe all that will go on that day, because in our limited minds, we just can't fathom. We read the words of John, we hear Jesus' words, but oh Lord, let us be those who stand strong in the name of Jesus Christ, following the commandments because we love him, and let us live in that assurance that is given to us. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.